John chapter 11. John chapter 11. While you're looking, I remind you the Bible reading schedules are out here on the rack. I want to encourage you to get that going. And tonight after the evening service, everybody that could help us carry these lanterns upstairs, you can help. A few other things we need to carry up. It won't take long. Miss Kathy will direct us. And just a few things left to take up. In fact, they've already done all the banners, so that's the easy way out. Anybody need a worksheet? Didn't get a worksheet? Slip your hand up. Anybody? Anybody at all? Okay. So I would encourage you to stay. It won't be long, but many hands make light work. Everybody makes one trip up there. Just about that pretty well solved the issue. So I appreciate that. And I would encourage you to put the Sweetheart Banquet on your schedule, and we'll have a good time. And maybe you've got a spouse that doesn't usually come to church. It's a good time to invite them, call them your sweetheart, make them your sweetheart, and bring them along. And or maybe there's a couple you want to buy a second pair of chairs or something, so to speak, tickets for them. And make, by the way, you got to get a ticket if you're going to come, because we're catering it. And the same folks has catered it last year. They did a super job, and we're having the seasoned roast beef and chicken cordon bleu, and sounds fancy enough there. And let's see, the roasted red potatoes and the sauteed green beans and so salad and that kind of stuff. So it'll be a good meal. And so I want to encourage you to be here. And it's $15 a person, and I know that's a tad on the more expensive side than I like it to be, but that's pretty good these days. You can't hardly get out of McDonald's with when they're their value meals for less than $8, and that's one dry burger on a dry bun, and you know, and a few dry cold French fries and sweet tea that you're not supposed to be drinking anyway. And so this will be good. It's, of course, it's a buffet style, all you can eat, and so it will be a nice meal. And then Corey Bain's going to be here to speak. He always does a great job, and we're working on some other things. Some fun things to lighten up the evening. So I want to encourage you to do that. John chapter 11. Now, John chapter 11 is a very familiar passage because of the raising of Lazarus. And I'll be honest with you, we kind of talked about it from two different sides. In this pass through John, I'm not going to actually do a message on the actual raising of Lazarus and so forth. I have done so many messages on that, and other people have come in and done messages on that. So there's no reason not to, I guess, other than I just felt like we've done so many of these things, many of those over the years, that I wasn't going to take the time in here. It's taken me, I think we've been in John for 2 years now, and we're in chapter 11, and so I just thought, well, we know that passage, and I wasn't going to spend a whole lot of time on that, but you kind of get the idea. But I wanted to read some things here on a section here that we don't usually talk about. Now, I'm afraid you're going to think I'm getting political. I'm not getting political. However, the Word of God will give you wisdom and understanding and insight. And tonight there's a little scenario going on here that allows us to see some things that we need to make sure that, I know it's not going to be exactly parallel, because in our economy there's no one perfect like Jesus. I understand that. But we can see what people do sometimes. Because people will try to do their best to get us off track and to lead us down the wrong road and convince us that right is wrong and wrong is right. And after a while, in fact, it's not unusual for Christians to kind of feel like, well, maybe they're right. And, you know, for instance, Christians don't want to make others feel bad. I don't want to make fake folks feel bad. Well, then why do you preach like you do? Because I want them to understand truth. You know, but I don't want them to feel bad. But the fact is, I want them to feel good, but the feeling good doesn't come until after the feeling bad part. John the Baptist came preaching, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. That sounds great. So he says, repent. Prepare you the way of the Lord. Well, how do you get prepared for the Lord? By repenting, realizing you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. That's how you get prepared for a Savior, by realizing you need one. And so that, you know, so sometimes it's not the fun thing that we need to understand that we have to go through, but we need to understand some things. And so again, sometimes we can be led astray by good intentions or what appears to be good intentions. And let me say this: There are some people who want to do nice things who are not Christian. But the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. In other words, if they've never been saved, they don't have the Holy Spirit living inside them, they are going to see some things differently than they would have otherwise. If they're saved, they start seeing things a little differently. I remember my dad, for instance. You know, you and your mother's religion, before he got saved, he just didn't understand this stuff. He just seems crazy, and why are you doing that? And the book just written by a bunch of men, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, after he started getting saved, after he got saved and started kind of learning the Word of God a little bit, all of a sudden he said, why doesn't everybody think like you do? But he didn't say it that way. Why don't everybody think the way we do? And all of a sudden the things of God started to make sense. And it didn't make sense to think the other way. And so we're looking at some religious people in this passage here that spent a lot of time in the Bible, in the Word of God, the Torah at least, in the law. And yet they're going in the wrong direction. Why? Because they have not trusted, if you will. They were not going to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit at this particular dispensation yet, because Christ had not yet risen. However, their mindset was based on some faulty information. If we don't base our thinking on correct facts, we're going to come up with incorrect conclusions. And so even if it's religious, it can be wrong, if it's not according to the Word of God. So I want you to kind of see some things here, and there's some, and you're going to see some parallel here. I'm not doing this because I timed this to pull this out, waiting for this to happen in the time we are in our country's history. But if you hear the news, you know that we're kind of in the midst of some issues amongst the Congress and the President, and one against the other, and so forth and so on. And again, I'm not trying to be political, but I do want you to see some things and have some insight. All right, let's pray, and we're going to walk through this. So rather than reading it all one time, we'll just read it, because we're going to read it all again anyway. So we'll just pray and get started here. Father, we thank you for your Word, and we thank you for the truths that are in it. And Lord, I pray that you give me your Holy Spirit power, and may your Spirit work in each of our hearts. Help us understand truth. See things for what they were. That was part of the problem. People weren't seeing things for what they really are. And so they were looking at the world through discolored glasses. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us see some things. And, Lord, use this time for your honor, for your glory, and give us your wisdom and insight. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. The scenario that we see this evening is quite appropriate for the time we're living in. This is because there is nothing new under the sun. There is no temptation that has taken us except that which is common to man. Sin is sin, and always has been sin, and always will be sin. Human nature is human nature, and always will be human nature. Pride is still pride, and man still doesn't want the Lord to rule his life. Man still sees himself as the standard of truth and righteousness and measures others to that standard. Man even has the audacity to critique God according to man's assessment of righteousness. I mean, sometimes people get mad at God. Well, how in the world can you get mad at God? When you get mad at God, you're basically saying, God, you're wrong. Now, how's that work? How can he be wrong when he sets the standard? He is right. That's the definition of who he is. Well, you don't love me. Then that's the definition of who he is. God's love. We just don't understand some things that God does and why he does them. Now, I did not contrive this message to speak to our current political situation, but the similarities are completely coincidental, and the names have been changed to protect the guilty. Number one, Jesus was simply doing the work of God. Let me read the passage of John 11:38 in your Bible. You got it there in your paper. John 11:38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Now, we're coming in at the end of the raising of Lazarus. We've been talking about the last couple of weeks, this passage here. And so they've been through there, and Martha, and she said, well, I believe the resurrection will come, you know, and all this stuff, over and over. Where have you laid them? Well, he's been 4 days, he stinketh, and so forth, okay? And so you know that passage. And so Jesus, groaning himself, coming through the grave, it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. The glory of God. Jesus was doing his work. Letter A, the works of God show the glory of God. The works of God show the glory of God. Underneath that, number two, the glory of God includes the authority of God. The glory of God is all that God is. Now, these are only just part of what he is, but the part that I want you to see here tonight, it shows his authority. The authority over nature. Nature itself. No one raises other people from the dead. It goes against nature. But since he created life in the first place, it's no problem for him to bring something back to life. He has his authority. Number two, we see the power of God. He has the power of God. He breathed into man the breath of life. He became a living soul. He spoke the words and let there be light, and there was light. He spoke the worlds into existence. He has the power to do whatever he needs to do. And when someone's raised from the dead, again, you not only see the authority, but you know he has the power to carry out his authority. Number three, we see the compassion of God. The compassion of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with having the authority. We ought to realize that he has the authority. In fact, we ought to fear God because he has the authority. He has the power of God. We ought to fear God because he has the power of God. And if he has the compassion. He saw what was needed there, and he wanted folks to understand. He wept and was concerned about their needs, and we see the compassion that God has. Here he is, all has all authority, all power, but has compassion for us little shovelfuls of dirt that has a soul in it, and he's caring about us. And he loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. He would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. His mercy endures forever. And so we see who he is. We see Jesus for who he is. He was simply doing his work, and by doing his work, we see who he is. In fact, you know, he says in John, if you don't believe me for what I say, I believe me for my work's sake, if nothing else. Okay? Letter B. Jesus obeyed God. Jesus obeyed God. So then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and knew that thou hearest me always. Because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he was thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, and Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Now, he always does what the Lord tells him. That's other places in the scripture. He says, the Lord always hears me. Why? Because it says he always does what the Father tells him to do. And so he obeyed God. He simply did what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to bring Lazarus out of the tomb, and he did. He was simply doing his job. Letter C. People respond differently to the glory of God. Here's the glitch. Here's the problem. Jesus Christ is showing himself for who he is, and that's wonderful. We know the story, and you could probably tell it yourself. The problem is, you get ready to tell the story, and we find, well, sure, everybody's going to think this is the greatest thing that happened. But people respond differently to the glory of God. Number one, the glory of God convinces some people to believe in greater ways. The more you see God work, the more you believe, and you say, well, God can do greater things, and your faith is encouraged, and that's good. There's some people who do that. Their faith is increased. In fact, verse 45 says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Why? When he raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, Jesus had been preaching. He had been through this way before, but they had not yet believed. God showed his glory, his power, his authority, his compassion, And more people believed on him. Some people will do that when they see who God is. But number two, the glory of God drives some away from God. The glory of God drives some people away from God. Verse 46, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. I'm telling. That's really what's
going on.
You raised Lazarus from the dead. I'm telling. The Pharisees aren't going to like this. They're not going to like it one bit. I'm telling. I'm telling Mom what you did. So people respond differently to the glory of God. Now Jesus was just doing his work. Remember that. By the way, sometimes you're just doing what you're supposed to do, and you get in trouble. Now, it's not good to get in trouble for doing something wrong, Paul says, but when you get in trouble for doing something right, that's acceptable with him. Don't fight it. Lord knows all about it. He's not done. He sees what's happening. So Jesus is just doing the work. He obeyed God. He's shown his power, his authority, his compassion. But people see it differently. Number two, many have already made their decision according to the wickedness in their heart. Now, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. You have some folks who now believe he is who he says he is. Now, you got some folks who are upset with him. Look at verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Now look at this real quick. They said, the chief priests and the Pharisees got a council together, and they sat down and had a powwow, and he said, what do we? For this man does many miracles. Well, that's a terrible thing. They're calling them miracles. They're calling them amazing things that only God can do. We can't have that. We can't do that. It's not going to progress our agenda. That's the problem. We're not going to make any headway on what we are trying to accomplish. So all of a sudden, what do? They see good as bad according to their own criteria and assessment of the situation. Truth just went out the window. Letter B, they refuted the glory of God. The miracles were posing a problem because they went against their preconceived notions. I mean, they called them miracles, but it's almost like the miracle is a bad thing. We can't let this happen. In fact, in the next chapter, they try to kill Lazarus because every time Lazarus walks down the road, everybody is reminded about what happened. That's that guy that was dead. Letter C. They refused the Messiah. They refused the Messiah. Messiah is the word Christ, Jesus Christ. Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. Messiah is, of course, the Hebrew word. It's really the same thing. What that means is the Messiah is going to come in and take over things. I didn't like that. We're doing just fine. We're in power of the house. I mean, we're in power of the Sanhedrin, and we don't want anybody getting us out. Whether they're right or whether they're wrong, whether what they're doing is good or not, we can't have it. So it must be wrong. But these are the scribes and the Pharisees, the priests and Pharisees. Yeah, the priests and the Pharisees. These are the priests and the Pharisees. These are the godly people, aren't they? Aren't they the good people? Aren't they the ones supposed to care about us? I mean, they must be right, right? They refuted the glory. They refused the Messiah in letter D. They refused the message. They refused his message. Not going to take it. We're not going to buy it. We can't have it. Why? Because if he's right, then we're wrong. And if we're wrong, we lose power. Now, I hate to say this. Again, I hate to get political, but that's exactly what's going on right now in our country. Now, let me say this as a disclaimer before we ever get started. I am not trying to liken Donald Trump to Jesus Christ. Though within the illustration, they kind of play the same role, okay? He's anything but. I understand that. But what we have, the stalemate that we have going on is, again, I didn't plan this. This is the next one in line here. They've just decided that even though what's going on is good, it can't be good because it doesn't progress our agenda. It means that we won't be in control. Number three, a wrong position on God causes us to take wrong positions in life's decisions. A wrong position on God causes us to take wrong positions in life's decisions. Now, they're going to come. This is strange because, you know, how it gets confusing. And it's one of those things that confuses people even when they read this passage. They kind of come to the right conclusion for the wrong reason. On your paper, the right conclusion, the wrong reason. Now, watch this. Number one underneath that, they did not fear God. How do I know that? Well, Jesus told them, if you loved Abraham and Moses and so forth, you went what they went, you would want me because they looked for me. They were looking for me. They wanted me to be here. They spoke of me. If you really liked them all that you say, well, then you would like me because I'm the fulfillment of what they were saying was going to come. But of course, that's not the case. In fact, they had killed the prophets. Not them personally, but the same mentality over the years. Look at verse 49. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Now, all of a sudden you say, wait a minute. The high priest Caiaphas knows that Jesus comes to die for the sins of the world. No. 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 God, letter B, I'll come back to this. God, letter B, God used the position of Caiaphas and his influence to proclaim truth, even though Caiaphas did not know what he was actually saying. What he was saying was, If we let Jesus stir up these people, then they're going to stir up an insurrection to a certain degree. We're going to have a riot on our hands, and then Rome's going to come down and put it all in place, and we're going to have a real mess here. In other words, we don't want to stand up for truth. We're going to keep everybody just happy and stay right in this terrible position that we are. In other words, we don't want to make America great again and stand up for great and get our military up where it needs to be and take a stand and be the force to be reckoned with. we're just going to try to make everybody happy. We shouldn't go over there and take this guy out that was one of the main guys that knocked a bunch of our people off. We shouldn't do that. We'll just lay low, just stay right where we are with our hands tied. And I'm getting political here. Don't get mad at me. But in other words, let's go along with the rest of the world. And basically, he says, you know nothing at all. Basically, he says, you bunch of numbskulls. You bunch of numbskulls. I'm almost waiting for him, for Mo to take two of them and knock their heads together, you know. Larry, Mo, and Larry, you know. But anyway, you bunch of numbskulls. Don't you realize that it would be better if he died and we didn't have any problem, we could keep everything just like it is, than to let him live and let him cause a stir. You know what he's doing? He's dividing the people. Our nation has never been more divided. And he's the one dividing us. I'm just saying. He's the one dividing us. I mean, you would think these guys were the good guys. They're the religious, right? They're the liberals. They want to help everybody and care for everybody and make sure everybody has what they want and, you know, certainly not stop a lady from being able to kill her baby if she doesn't want it. What a terrible thing. I mean, don't. I mean, certainly. I don't take that decision lightly. And I'm not trying to be funny or facetious. I've never been in that situation, nor will I ever be in that situation. But killing a baby doesn't make it right. I'm sorry. It's still wrong. They want to say how evil our president is, and yet every one of those on the other side said that they're fully behind abortion. Fully behind abortion. And most of them, up until the moment of birth. And Hillary Clinton basically made it sound like, you know what, if you mess it up, you can probably just take care of it even after the birth. And rip it to pieces. And sell the liver and the kidneys and the heart. But my goodness, don't let those religious people have the right to say what they want to say. You know, we got those weak people who cling to their guns and their religion, the deplorables. I'm not trying to be mean here. I know this sounds terribly political. But we live in this world. If it's going the other direction, it would go the other direction. I'd say the same thing. This is exactly what's going on. And it's what's going on with Jesus. Now, Jesus absolutely had done no wrong. But he couldn't be allowed to be considered to be doing right because then they'd lose their power. Well, nobody would really do that, would they? Yes, they would, right here it is. And he's been doing it for millennia. Verse 51 says, this spake he, when Caiaphas said one should die for the rest of them, this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. So what do you mean he prophesied? I'll tell you, listen, this is what happened. What he said was true. And in his position as a high priest, God used his mouth. He used God used the position of Caiaphas and his influence to proclaim truth, even though Caiaphas did not know what he was actually saying. God used him. He had the ear of the Jewish people. And so he spoke through him, even though he really didn't know what he was saying. Letter C. They feared Rome. He says, spake this not of himself, not But being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Now, wait a minute. They want to kill this guy. But they're saying, well, I thought he came to bring everybody together. But he's going to die so we can all be together. What they're saying is that God, was causing a stir in their little world, and the only common sense thing to do was to get rid of the one who's stirring things up. Frankly, I think they looked at it, it was the noble thing to do. They had to do this quietly and discreetly so as not to stir up the people to what is actually happening for their own good, of course. We've got to keep this bar. We don't want to stir anybody up, so we've got to do this for their own good because we know better what the people need. I've heard that before, too. You don't know how to spend your money, so you give it all to us and we'll spend it for you. You see, the people don't know what's good for them, and we are what is good for them. We don't need the Lord and His righteousness coming in here and messing things up. Letter D. Noble motivations are often not so noble. Noble motivations are often not so noble. I don't know if you've watched the debates, the Democratic debates. I don't think I've missed one. Maybe I've missed one. If you say, well, why do you do that? I'm on blood pressure medicine now, so it's okay. They all stand there and say, this is what they're saying. The economy is so bad. And then next to that, you see them saying the economy is so bad, and then you get the news article that's saying, well, there's not enough workers to go around. We got more jobs than we have workers. The people's wages are going up. The stock market new record every other day. Now, it's not perfect. It never is. But I'll be honest with you, I think it's a little better than it was 3 years ago. I think it's a lot better than it was 3 years ago. Now, it's not right just because I got more money in my pocket. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, no matter what is good, it can't be good because that person's not in our bunch. And if he's in power, we're not. This is what we are. I mean, I've heard we've got to get a Democrat in. But Republicans will say the same thing. And by the way, it shouldn't be that way for either side. You ought to do right. My point is saying, in the world, just because somebody paints themselves one way or another and somebody else makes somebody look bad one way or the other, don't you buy it. You compare it to the Word of God. See what they're doing and what they're trying to do. You say, well, are you telling me that Trump was a righteous man? No. What I'm saying is that most of the decisions that he's making, you could back up with the Word of God. Most of the decisions he's making for the nation itself, you can back up with the Word of God. And most of the decisions, I hate to say it, that the other party is doing, you could say goes against a lot of what the Word of God says. Now, Mr. Trump is not going to get rid of the LGBTQ, XYZ. He's not going to get rid of that. I understand that. But I will tell you this. I don't think he'd let them come in and take over our church. And I don't think he'd let us be thrown in jail if we didn't agree with him. I really don't. They're calling him a dictator. It's really because he doesn't do what they want. Now, again, I know I'm terribly political, but see, I got your attention here, and this is the way life works sometimes, and we've got to understand, don't be fooled by what's going on here. And again, I'd rather, this is honest, good as truth, I'd rather have a president there that ruined the economy and my bank account, but was pro-life in the fear of God, than have somebody who puts plenty of money in my bank, in my pocketbook, who walked away from God on issues like that. Because as far as money goes, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. It didn't say my government. If the government goes south and everything goes under, God at least give me something to eat. He promises that. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means his definition of righteousness, not ours. They want to make it look like noble and more righteous to kill the babies. They want to think it's more noble, more righteous to never say anything about sins that go against creation. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And their noble motivations are not always so noble. It could be that the outward attempt to keep the people low-key by not stirring them up over Jesus was really just a cover for the real reason that they wanted to be rid of Jesus. They did not want to lose their power and their stronghold over the people. And they saw Jesus as the obstacle between them and the continuation of their authority. Letter E. They accused Jesus of being the bad guy. They had walked away from truth over the years, and now they're blaming Jesus for being divisive. Let me say that again. They had walked away from God over the years, and now they blame Jesus for being divisive. They had walked away from the stands that their founding fathers had, such as saying, "I fear not whether God is on our side, but whether we are on God's side." Listen, Mr. Lincoln, George Washington said, "You can't call it, give yourself the title of patriot if you would subvert the pillars of religion in the Bible." I didn't go back and look them all up, but we could stand here for another half an hour, 45 minutes, and just give quote after quote after quote after quote. Listen, even Thomas Jefferson, rewrite history, tell me he didn't care about God, would tell you that the Bible is the main book that we should be following. Noah Webster, John Jay, the first Supreme Court justice. You go back and listen to their writings, and they'll tell you. Was it Madison or Adams that says, "Listen, our Constitution is written for a holy, moral, and religious people. It's inadequate for the governing of any other. The word I'm going to say is not right. Either led by the word of God, I can't get the quote on me. The final is either by the Bible or the bayonet. Either we are controlled by the Bible either rule from within or without. Either by the word of God or the strong arm of man. Either by the Bible or the bayonet. Now, those are strong words. And so we go back to the Bible, and they want to listen. They got almost a point where if you quote Bible, they think it's unconstitutional. Well, they just mean, well, I think, but see, a lot of us have bought into this. This was a nation founded on the things of God. And God has blessed it because we were fearing God. And there's still a lot of God-fearing people who are still here. But I tell you what, we're getting close. Now, we do have a president in here who, I don't know why, but he fears God. He's kind of a Cyrus, if you go back and study Cyrus in the Old Testament. He's kind of a Cyrus. He's kind of a Nebuchadnezzar. I'm not sure they're really righteous. I'm not sure they trusted to the point of salvation or not. I don't know about that, but I tell you that they feared God, and God used them to bless the people of God, and I think he's using them. Now, this sounds terribly political tonight. That's not the goal. The point is this, though. The world is out here trying to tell you that right is wrong and wrong is right. And they're going to try to make wrong sound noble and make right sound wicked. And just because there's more of them that's going that direction, the wrong direction, doesn't make the wrong direction right. In fact, sometimes I don't think there's more, if they're just louder. How in the world could Trump have gotten elected? Because he didn't have enough votes. We knew that. Well, somebody voted. That's what they said. We know that he can't get elected because he just doesn't have enough votes. How does this happen? I remember Chuck Todd on the news there. That night, I remember watching it. I mean, literally. I be honest with you, I think his knees were knocking together and saw the handwriting on the wall. What shall we do? You've been weighed in the balance, and now have been found wanting. You know, all of a sudden, he had his little board there. I don't think he knew what to do. I am not saying that Trump is a righteous man. But I am saying that they're trying to vilify a lot of the things that he's trying to do. They're trying to get back to what should be right. For whatever reason it is. And so, what do they say? The nation has never been more divided. Well, let's see how he stands compare to our founding fathers and how their stand compares to our founding fathers. Who moved? Well, you didn't move up with us, so you divided us. In other words, it's our way or the highway. Well, that's what they say about him. Letter F. They had made truth to become controversial. There's a word we throw around today. Truth became controversial. Romans 1:24 says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to their uncleanness through the lust of their own eyes to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen." They changed the truth into a lie. A little earlier in that same passage, it says that when they knew him as God, they glorified him not as God. They saw the truth, but refused to receive it as truth. We need to impeach God. We need to impeach Jesus and get rid of him. He doesn't agree with us. So we have to do the nation a favor, so as to spare the nation and all the division that we have, and so that other nations don't come in and take us over, we need to impeach him. Impeach Jesus. Get him out of here. Crucify him. Get rid of him. We need to take him down. He is so controversial that he actually believes the law and that there's absolutes and that sin is still sin. Can you imagine? I remember the years when somebody, if somebody supported abortion, it was controversial. Now the statement is controversial if you're anti-abortion. I remember the days when controversy was because somebody was pro-homosexual. Now, I don't hate homosexual. It's a sin. But you, two people living together without being married is a sin. If you lie, it's a sin. I mean, it's just the way it is. Listen, you dishonor your mother and your father is a sin. And being a homosexual is a sin. The Lord goes, takes one step and calls it abomination. That used to be controversial. You realize if I had any kind of following at all and this gets on the internet and people listen to it and I'm standing here saying that homosexuality is a sin, that gets plastered all over, it would be controversial. Why? Because it doesn't agree with them. Even though it agrees with the Word of God. It doesn't matter that Jesus is innocent and has done many amazing, great things for the people. There's been no collusion and no obstruction of justice. He is actually trying to do what the law says, and that is going to make us look bad, so he must be eliminated. It doesn't matter how good a man he is, he contradicts us, and that is making people divide from us, and thus he is causing division. And we need to destroy Jesus for the good of the nation. Mr. Biden has said quite a few times, we are fighting for the soul of our nation. There was a division right here for the soul of the Jewish nation. There was a fight. Listen, you got one man who's actually kind of open about it, says we need a revolution. We need a radical change in our nation. Mr. Sanders wants to take us totally a different direction than the Founding Fathers said. I mean, he's socialist and proud of it. That'll work for about a generation and a half. Then there won't be anybody left with money. And then we'll be just like another third world country. But we need to destroy so we can save the nation. The real threats to the welfare of our nation are those that cling to their guns and their religion, and the deplorables that still believe that a child has a right to live, whether they're out of the womb or still in the womb. The ones that think it is wrong to take advantage of the weakness of men just so we can make some more money for the government by legalizing drugs and gambling. You know, they're the problem. Got to have more gambling, and we want to have more liquor. Got to make it more accessible. Got to have more drugs. They're going to take control till we have no sense of our own, and they're going to come in and do us a favor. You're going to think you're going off the deep end here tonight. I'm just telling you, it's right here, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. Number four. Sometimes wickedness comes to the point where there is no use trying to convince wicked people otherwise. Verse 54, Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. Now, we learned last week, he didn't not go to Jerusalem because he was scared. His time was not up. His hour was not come. We've heard that so many times. We know that. It just wasn't going to do any good at that point. But now he went down and raised Lazarus because that's what he needed to do. And, of course, that stirred things all up over again. But the fact is, they're done. Letter B, Jesus gave them over. Romans 1:28 says this, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I gave you that verse. Let me read the rest of them here. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Again, I'm not trying to be political here, but you just look at our situation here. I remember some years ago when the owner of Chick-fil-A happened to say, well, you know, we don't believe that homosexuality is correct. And all the hate, they hate, everybody. Boycott Chick-fil-A. And I remember hearing Nancy Pelosi stand up and say, I can get my waffle fries from someplace else. I don't need to get them from that bunch. With that little impudent face of hers. I'm not trying to be mean here. By the way, if you saw when she put the gavel down on the impeachment, you go back and look at it. She kind of said, don't. Or don't, we got this thing. We got this thing. So they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. And what do we have? Deceit, maliciousness, envy, whispers. They're despiteful, they're proud, they're boasters, and venerable of evil things. Without understanding, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who know the judgment of God, but they're going to do it anyway. Encourage those others to do it too. Letter C. They had made their choice. They had made their choice. In Matthew 23, Jesus, toward the end there, it's not in this particular passage, but Jesus says this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her children under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Jesus was not going to fight and argue with them anymore. That's fine. He put them in God's hands. That's not a good place to be on that side of God. And by the way, there's an awful lot of folks that give Mr. Trump a hard time for standing behind Jerusalem, behind Israel. God doesn't say stand behind Israel when Israel is right. He says you stand behind Israel. And I'll stand behind you. Listen, God stood behind Israel and Abraham even when they were a mess. He's not justifying a mess. He's showing his mercy and his grace and his faithfulness. And listen, what he does and how he works through Israel, that's God's business. But the fact is, if he blesses those who bless Israel and curses those who curse Israel, then we're blessing Israel. And be honest with you, I think that's what Mr. Trump is trying to do. I really do. And if he doesn't back down, I think we're in good shape. If he backs down on that, then we're just in a critical point as we would if anybody else was in power. Letter D, Jesus did not hide. Jesus didn't need to hide. His hour had not yet come, and so the Lord would not allow them to kill him yet. That has already been established many times through other messages. The ministry of Jesus among the people was essentially over, and now he was waiting for his hour to come. And they will not believe, though one be raised from the dead. Remember that story, you know, the rich man Lazarus, and he said, send someone back Send Lazarus back. He said, they won't believe even if someone be raised from the dead. Well, they did have somebody not too long after that by the name of Lazarus that was raised from the dead. And many of them did not believe because of that. In fact, they turned the other way. Number five, Jesus did not live life in reaction. And we shouldn't either. Jesus did not live life in reaction. People wondered if Jesus would have the nerve to show up since he was a wanted man. Verse 55. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, what think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given commandment that if any man knew where he was, where he were, he should show it that they might take him. Jesus lived life by obedience to the Father. He was going to do what he was supposed to do. He was not hiding. He was not living by reaction. And the reaction that others have in response to Jesus is their own choice and has nothing to do with what Jesus chooses to do next. I say that to say this. There are people who will do whatever they want to do, no matter what the Word of God says, no matter what the Lord says, they're going to do what they want. Now, God is not the enemy of the state. You would think, you listen to all the politics, you would think, that, in fact, they've said it at some of these debates, that the biggest enemy and danger to America is Donald Trump. Now, there's a lot of crazy things he's done, and a lot of things I wish he hadn't said, and I don't like his language a lot of times, and some stupid things, and I wish he'd just go to bed and stay there till the next morning and keep his fingers off his phone. I really would. I really would. But no one has ever supported Israel as much as he has in anything called modern history. No one had the nerve to make Jerusalem the capital, to recognize Jerusalem as the capital. No one had the nerve to say they deserve to have their country. Leave them alone. No one, I mean, to have the nerve to go against those who are going against Israel and knocking them off, because he knows they're after him. No one had the nerve to stand up and say, I mean, almost from the very beginning, that the Johnson Amendment, which is basically a gag order, and anybody who stands in the pulpit of a church is not allowed to, by the way, a conservative church. That's not part of the law, but that's part of the practice. You can't have someone stand up, you can't support or have somebody come up and make political statements of who you should vote for and who you shouldn't vote for, according to their definition. But he said, listen, let them talk. They have a right to say anything they want to say. It can appear that God is our enemy when we go against his will. I understand that. Lord is God, and he changes not. And if our will is against God's will, we will find ourselves be fighting against God himself. That's what Caiaphas said a little later. If it comes to these people are turning up the world upside down, and if what they're doing is of God, well, then we can't fight, and we will find ourselves fighting God himself. We do right, stand on the right side of right. We're fighting with the right God. No matter what anybody else says. This is not an old book that's outdated. The blessings and the promises of blessing those that bless Israel is still active. Has not changed. The church did not replace Israel. They're still God's people. And there's going to be people that's going to try to convince you that right is wrong and wrong is right, and they're going to make it look noble. Don't buy it. Don't buy it. Well, we got to stop. Father, thank you for your word. Kind of a tough one. Lord, don't mean to make anybody mad tonight or trying to get simply political or trying to push my political views. That's not what I'm trying to do here. But there is some parallels here that are obvious, and we need to have the wisdom to see things for what they are. So, Lord, give us your understanding, and we give you the praise for it.